partner or has a part in all our worships.
وإذا لم يشارك العبد يبقى العبادة باطلة. القلب يبقى العبادة باطلة.
And if the heart does not take a role in our acts of worship, then that worship will become nullified.
فكيف نهمل القلب هكذا من غير ما نهتم بإصلاحه؟
So Sheikh is asking an important question. How do we then disregard the importance of the heart and the intention when it plays such a huge role in all our acts of worship?
ده العبادات في الإسلام يتوقف قبولها على مشاركة القلب والنجاة يوم القيامة تتوقف على سلامة القلب. يا سبحان الله.
So further than that, to make the more of a point, the actual acceptance of any act of worship is directly related to one's condition in their heart. And the status of a person on the Day of Judgment will be according to the soundness of their heart.
يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day when nothing shall benefit mankind except who that which attains a sound heart.
وعن سيدنا إبراهيم إذ جاء ربه بقلب سليم.
And the Prophet Ibrahim as well has mentioned in the Quran that he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart.
السليم من ماذا؟
So the Sheikh is asking, sound from what?
الكوليسترول. سليم من الضغط. سليم من سداد الشرايين. يبقى احنا اكلناها. اصحاب امراض القلب الموجودين في الدنيا يبقى راحت عليهم ان ده قلبه مريض يوم القيامه. لا.
So the Sheikh is saying, is it sound from a physical disease or ailment? If that is the case, then, unfortunate is the case for many Muslims. No, it's not the case. It's not talking about heart disease here or cholesterol, blood pressure and so forth. It's talking about something unseen.
إذن هناك مرض خاص بأمراض القلب اللي هو يتوقف عليه السلامة يوم القيامة.
So thus, there is a disease that is directly related to the heart on which on the Day of Judgment there is going to be a judgment about.
يقول تعالى وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَن.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not approach the acts of corruption, what has been apparent or what is apparent on the outside and what is not apparent, as in disguised or on the inside.
في آية أخرى وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ.
In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so leave the sin that is outward and leave the sin that is inward.
إذن عندي أمراض ظاهرة وعندي أمراض باطنة.
So in summary, there are diseases that are outward to the heart and there are diseases that are inward to the heart.
فواحش معاصي ظاهرة للجسد وفواحش ومعاصي خاصة باطنة خاصة بالقلب.
So there are those sins which are external to the person that are performed by the extremities, hands, feet, and so forth. And there are those sins that are performed in one's heart, inwardly.
الفواحش الظاهرة, الفواحش الظاهرة مثل السرقة. تشاف يتمسك صاحب وتصور كمان.
So an example of an outward sin is theft that one performs with a hand.
القتل.
Murder.
الخمر.
Drinking alcohol
والزنا,
and fornication
والقمار,
gambling
والكذب,
even lying.
كل هذه تسمى فواحش إيش ظاهرة.
So these are all outward corrupt sins.
وهذه صاحبها يتوب منها في الدنيا فيتوب الله عليه.
And these, when its person, when its owner is remorse or seeks repentance from them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them in this life.
ولكن هناك معاصي فواحش كبائر باطنة ما بتشاف بالعين.
However, there are major sins and minor sins that are also inward that cannot be observed with one's eye, that you cannot observe that another person is doing.
مثل النفاق.
For example, hypocrisy.
يسر في باطنه الكفر ويظهر الإسلام.
This is when a person conceals his corruption in his heart. On the outward, he is a Muslim, but on the inward, in his heart, he's not.
قد يصلي وقد يصوم وقد يحج وقد يعمل كل أعمال ظاهرة.
So externally, you might see that person praying, fasting, and so forth. You think is a Muslim, but on the inside, something else is concealed. And even if you take him for an ultrasound, for example, you're not going to see that hypocrisy. You know, it's something physical. It's not physical.
ولو بعثنا الدكتور والله يعمل له بس تست بلاد تست شوف القلب كذا عنده كذا مش هيظهر النفاق برضه.
And even if he does, you know, a cardiology exam or goes to the heart doctor, you're not going to be able to tell this person has hypocrisy in his heart.
لكن المصاب به في الدرك الأسفل من النار.
However, the person who has that disease is in the lowest pit of hellfire on the day of judgment.
شوف جهنم لظى صقر الحطمة الجحيم السعير الهاوية إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار سبحان أشد أنواع العذاب درجة.
So hellfire, as you know, is in levels, and the Sheikh named them. The hypocrite is in the lowest level, the most, the harshest, the most tormentful level of punishment in hellfire.
ومن هذه الأمراض الرياء.
And also one of these diseases that are inward is pride and arrogance.
والحسد.
And also to be envy.
والكبر.
And pride as well.
والعجب.
And to be you know, fond of oneself.
الله يعجب نفس يعني مبسوط بنفسه شايف نفسه يأرض هدم عليك أدي عجب عجب حاله. والخيلاء. يعني واحد ماشي منفوخ تلاقي حط رجله كذا يعني تلقى ماشي كذا يعني زي show off يعني
it's like showing off that's another inward disease as well
زي كذا وكذلك من هذه الأمراض الأنانية حب نفسه
selfishness is also an inward disease
الشماتة يبقى فرحان لما تجي مصيبة في واحد
also to be happy when another person is afflicted with a hardship
سوء الظن
you know thinking wrong thinking bad about people having misjudgment.
عدد الإمام الغزالي أمراض القلب فأوصلها إلى 70 مرضا.
Imam Ghazali has accounted these diseases of the heart, and he came to a number 70 diseases in one's heart.
إذن هناك علم يهتم بحماية وصون اللسان عن الخطأ في اللغة العربية اسمه علم النحو علمك الجرامر Arabic grammar عشان ما ترفع ترفع المفعول وتنصب الفاعل وتنصب المجرور وتخربط في الدنيا.
In the Arabic language, as you know, there is a science that actually, when you learn it, then you learn how to correctly pronounce the words with their attributes and so forth. Now this علم it's called نحو in Arabic. It's the actual science.
وهناك علم يبين لي كيف أعبد الله اسمه علم الفقه.
And there is also a science of jurisprudence that shows you what is acceptable in the way you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its conditions, its pillars, the outward stuff.
علم يعلمني كيف أفكر وأضع مقدمات وقضايا وعليها نتائج يعني 2 زائد 2 يساوي 4 أو كذا زائد كذا سوى كذا يعني اسمه مقدمات نتائج اسمه علم المنطق.
There is also a science that is the science of logic that to, you know when you learn it you learn how to reason and just think logically.
وكل هذه العلوم تهتم بمعالجة أشياء بعيدة عن القلب.
And these sciences that we mentioned they are all sciences that deal with treatment. Or a learning of those things that are away from the heart.
فهل يعقل أن تنشأ كل هذه العلوم للغة وللنحو وللصرف والبلاغة وللتفسير وللحديث ولكل هذه المواد ويترك القلب هكذا دون أن يقيض ويسخر الله تبارك وتعالى علوما أو علماء لإصلاح هذا القلب يسمى علماء الباطن معقل الدين هكذا يضيع.
So do you think it's possible that in our religion how we have so many sciences such as the science of hadith and Quran and all the sciences that we mentioned and many many more that we have not that deal with the outward and so forth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make a science that deals with the inwards even though the inward condition is the first and foremost and most important part of any act of worship.
فسخر الله تبارك وتعالى علماء يحيون القسم الثالث من السنة.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did actually create scholars who tended to and looked after that third attribute of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
القسم الثالث من وظيفة وعمل النبي ومنهج النبي وطريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
This is the third role that we should be learning from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لأن النبي له ثلاث وسائل ثلاث طرق.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had three methods.
كان يعلم بها أمته.
He used to teach through it the nation.
والذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويعلمهم الكتابة number one, الحكمة number two, ويزكيهم number three.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran where he says he has sent a messenger from among them who teaches them the word, the wisdom and the purification. Three mentioned in the Quran.
الكتاب هو القرآن الكريم.
So the word or the book is the Quran.
ثلاث أدوية.
These are the three medicines.
ثلاث طرق لله.
Three ways to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
طريق يعالج طريق عن طريق القرآن.
So the first method is the method of the Quran.
وطريق عن طريق السنة الحكمة يشرح القرآن بالسنة.
And the second one that we mentioned, the wisdom, which refers to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a second path to happiness.
مثلا رب العزة قالوا أقيموا الصلاة. فين الآية في القرآن بتقول الصبح ركعتين والظهر والعصر أربع ركعات والمغرب ثلاثة؟ فين؟ إذن السنة العملية هي التي فسرت المجمل في القرآن وبينونا كيف بنصلي وكيف بنصوم كيف بنزكي وكيف بنحج. فيعلم الكتابة والحكمة التي تشرح إيه؟ الكتاب اللي هي السنة القولية أو الفعلية أو التقريرية أو الصفتية. نعم.
And the Quran cannot be separated from the tradition of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because as an example when Allah سبحانه وتعالى tells you to pray in the Quran, He does not mention how many rak'at and in what fashion to pray. This is the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, His actions that showed us. So these two, they cannot be separated.
يبقى الكتاب صلى الله على رسول الله. انتبهوا هذا جيد. الكتاب القرآن الحكمة السنة ويزكيهم.
So the third one, the third word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the third method is, and He purifies them. What is this thing?
والزمين قف ويزكيهم. هذا اللي عايزين نفهمه. ما هي التزكية؟
So what is purification?
التزكية لابد أن تكون غير القرآن وغير وسيلة القرآن وغير وسيلة السنة. لأن واو واو والواو يقتضي العطف والعطف يقتضي المغاير. هي ثلاث أشياء different story. ثلاث أشياء مختلفات.
So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these three things in succession, then it means they are exclusive of one another. Now what that means is the way of purification is going to be different to the Quran and to the Sunnah. These are three parallel methods if you like.
قال التزكية الهارد لانجوش لغة القلوب فيوضات القلوب علم خاص بالقلوب.
So it is said that purification is the language of the heart.
وهذا هو موضوع دروسنا اللي احنا بادئين فيه نبدأ فيه إن شاء الله من اليوم.
And how to purify our hearts is the topic that we shall be starting from tonight إن شاء الله.
لما أسأل واحد فقيه أقول له لما أحب أصلي صلاة صحيحة شو أعمل؟ يقول لي طهارة وتيابك وجسمك والصبح ركعتين تقف تقرأ يشرح للصلاة بصلي.
So when you go to a jurist and you want to learn the actions of prayer, so you ask, you know, how do I pray? He will say, you know, make sure you're purified, make sure that you're facing, you know, the direction of prayer. You know, this prayer is this many rak'at and these are the actions that you'll do. And he'll explain to you all the necessary actions and steps you need in order for you to pray.
قالوا سيدنا الشيخ القرآن سورة المؤمنون بيقول قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم الخاشعون. انت قلت لي قائمون وراكعون وسجدون بس ما قلت ليش من أركان الصلاة الخشوع انت سيدنا الشيخ. والخشوع محله القلب. الخشوع محله القلب.
So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when He describes the believers, He said, successful are the believers that when in their prayers they have this thing called khushu', or God consciousness, if you like. So you ask a jurist, well, you told me about all these external actions for prayers, but you didn't mention anything about being God conscious. What's the story there?
يقول لي هذا خاص بعلم القلوب علم التزكية هذا روح لمشايخ غيري أنا موضوع آخر هذا.
So that jurist will tell you that being God conscious in the prayer is a science that you will get from someone other than me, someone who actually studies the purification of the heart.
سيدنا الشيخ ده في الحديث القدسي الصحيح إنما أتقبل الصلاة ممن تواضع بها لعظمتي ضد التواضع إيه الكبر إذن الكبر فاحشة سيئة معصية لما تدخل قلبي تبطل صلاتي ما قلت على سيدنا الشيخ.
So another example that you read in the hadith where we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the prayers as long as there is humility in the heart. So you go to the jurist and you tell them, well, you told me about all these external actions, but you didn't talk about having humility and you didn't talk about having pride. This is obviously something that the jurist cannot talk to you about because it's a different science. It's a science on its own. This is what the sheikh is trying to make as a point.
ومن هنا كان علم التزكية هو المكمل والمتمم لعلم الفقه.
And this is from this point we see that why the science of purification is actually coming to complete the science of jurisprudence. They actually complement one another.
وعندي علم اسمه علم العقائد علم التوحيد.
And there is also another science, the science of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the science of tawheed.
الله يعلمني يجب أن أعترف أن الله تبارك وتعالى واحد.
For example, you need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. This is something basic that you learn in this science.
وأنه سميع بصير.
And that He is all-hearing, all-seeing.
قادر.
He is all-powerful, all-able.
ولكن كوني أنا أستشعر أن الله تبارك وتعالى معي في خلوتي وجلوتي ما له علاقة بعلم التوحيد. يخش علم العقائد عشان علم العلم التربية القلبية علم التزكية عشان يكمل علم التوحيد.
Okay, even though you know probably by nature we all know the science of tawheed in its basics. However, what is that thing that we require in order to be God conscious when we are alone, so that we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us before we do this action? It's not the science of tawheed that you need. It's the science of purification of the heart.
فإن شئنا لما مراتب الدين الثلاثة الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان.
And also as we have read in the tradition that there are three levels to our way of life. The first is Islam, the second is belief, the third is إحسان.
وهذا سنشرح هذا إن شاء الله في لقاء قادم.
And that will be explained إن شاء الله in lessons to come.
فالإسلام الإقرار باللسان. النطق باللسان والإقرار بالجنة أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله يروع عمل لشهادة الشيخ أنني مسلم.
But to quickly get a glimpse, we shall mention what each one is. So Islam is to testify by your tongue in front of a person that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah and Muhammad is His Prophet. And you can get a certificate that says yes, you have become a Muslim. It's so easy, it's very readily available.
ولكن الله تبارك وتعالى كتب الفلاح والنجاة للمؤمنين فالمؤمن الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله الأمور الغيبية بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله باليوم الآخر وبالقدر معروف.
But it is important to note that success has been written for the believers. Okay, for the believers, and the believers here we're talking about the next level, whereas we're talking about the belief in the heart about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His messages, books, the last day and so forth.
أعلى درجة اللي هي الإحسان والإحسان عرفه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تعبد الله تبارك وتعالى كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك.
And the highest station and the most sought after in our way of life is called إحسان, and its definition is you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him, and even though you don't see Him, He sees you. This is a high level and degree of being God conscious.
وما والتزكية علم التزكية علم القلوب علم التربية الروحية اللي احنا بنسميه علم التزكية ناس بنسميه علم التصوف علم التزكية علم التربية القلبية التربية الروحية علم زي ما سميه مقامه يبحث في الإحسان أما الإيمان علم العقائد والإسلام علم الفقه أو علم الظاهر إذن علم التزكية في الدرجة أعلى درجة من درجات الدين وهي مقام الإحسان.
Okay, so to summarize, our sciences can be also split into these three levels. So we have the science of jurisprudence, which deals with the outward actions that are necessary for worship to be accepted. This is on the level of Islam, the same thing as you testify with your tongue. Then we have the science of tawheed, which deals with, you know, belief. And as we know, the belief has pillars, such as believing in Allah, His Messenger, and so forth. And then that last station that we talked about, that everyone should be seeking, this is a station where you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him. Now, this science for that one is the science of purification of one's heart. So think about these three different levels.
Islam. واحد شاهد أن لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله.
So as an example, Islam level one, a person to testify there is no God except Allah and His Messenger is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ثم بدأ يطبق من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. فبدأ يطبق فالأعمال من صلاة وصوم وزكاة فانتقل إلى مرتبة الإيمان.
So this person, after learning about the compulsory acts of worship, he will start carrying them out with the belief in his heart. Now he moves to the second station, or she, which is the station of belief.
ولكن أعلى درجة في درجات الإيمان اللي دخلك في مقامات الإحسان هي الذوق. الذوق ذاق طعم الإيمان. شوف كلمة ذاق طعم الإيمان. أن تشعر بالذوق. بالحسي بحلاوة القرآن بحلاوة الصلاة بحلاوة الصوم بحلاوة الذكر هل هذا تحتاج تأخذ كورس في مقام التزكية كورس في 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 جامعة التزكية التربية القلبية
and the highest level in that and the highest sorry degree in that second level of iman is when you actually become tasteful of the fruit of iman so what that means is you actually enjoy The acts of worship, it becomes like an addiction where you have those acts of worship. You start enjoying, you feel the fruits of the iman. Now, this is the highest degree of level two, whereby just before you go to the next level. However, to reach this degree of being, tasteful of faith, if you like, or being able to pleasantly taste faith, this needs a course in the university of purification of one's heart.
كلمة التزكية هذه ما زالت منها واضحة عندك.
Okay, so we'll explain the word tazkiyah, purification, in another way.
ولذلك سنذهب إلى مدرسة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مباشرة.
So we'll go to the school of Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
العلم القرآن عندنا حفظة في هذه الأيام وناس تحفظ القرآن أكثر من زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Okay, so as we know, in nowadays, modern times, we have more people that have memorized the Quran than at the time of Prophet Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam.
And we even have people that know how to write it even better than the companions did.
وعندنا آلاف المطابع تقوم بطباعة القرآن بجميع الأشكال والألوان.
And we have thousands of printers that produce literature and the Quran, day and night, nonstop.
وعملنا قطعة حديدة هيك صغيرة بس هكذا اسمها CD عليه القرآن كله.
And even we have developed to a stage where we have the whole Quran being recited on a CD.
وعلى التلفون كله على بعضه لو حطيت في السندويش بيتاكل ومع ذلك تجد القرآن الكريم كله على جهاز التلفون.
And even nowadays you can get the memory, the high memory on phones, you can have the Quran being loaded on a mobile phone.
إذن القرآن من الناحية التوثيقية الحفظ والتدوين موجود أكثر من زمان الصحابة.
So the Quran from the aspect of physical presence is actually more apparent or more widespread than the time of the companions. May Allah be pleased with them.
إذن الكتاب هو الكتاب ما زال موجودا وموثق أكثر.
So the Quran is still the same, however, it's even more widespread than before.
والحمد لله السنة دونت وعند أصحاب الصحاح أصحاب السنن كالبخاري ومسلم أبو داود الترمذي والنسائي والإمام أحمد وموطأ مالك وسنن ابن ماجه دارقطني والبيهقي وسنن دونت السنة وغربلت الصحيح والحسن والضعيف.
And by the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunan, the actions, the sayings, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did has all been compiled into texts by famous authors that you might hear their names, such as Bukhari, Muslim, and so forth. And this is a great blessing, and we have them between our hands nowadays.
Alhamdulillah, عند ناس بحجوا أكثر من بحج أنا سفر الله العظيم أنا غيري وغيري بحج بقالوا حج 30 مرة.
And we even have people that go to pilgrimage maybe, you know, once a year for the rest of their lifetime. You know, it's so easily accessible to them. So in other words, they even performed Hajj more than the companions did themselves. And even on a CD nowadays, we can get the whole life of the Prophet ﷺ and his sayings.
انتوا فين في الارض احنا شويه تراب عايشين على وجه الارض علماء ولا مشايخ ولا ائمه في الايه اصحابي كالنجوم شفت مثل.
So why is it then this question that the Shaykh is posing, why is it then the companions in relation to us are like the stars and earth so far away from us, why is the level so big of a difference?
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لابي بكر لو وزن ايمان ابي بكر بايمان الامه من وقت ما جاءت كلمة لا إله إلا الله إلى يوم القيامة لرجح إيمان أبي بكر.
Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if the faith of Abu Bakr was to put on a scale and the faith of the rest of the nation put on the other end of the scale, Abu Bakr's faith would outweigh. Now how can that be the case?
كيف وبأي بأي عمل صحابة الكرام شافوا الجنة وسلمت عليهم الملائكة وهم في أحياء على الأرض.
So the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, they, I mean, great things happened to them, such as the angels, they, you know, gave salams to them, and they even saw paradise and so forth.
سخر الله لهم البحار مشفوا منها قبل ما تطلع الدبابة البرمائية دي هم مشوا الخيول كان عندهم برمائية.
So as an example of what happened to the companions during their lives, we know we had ships before they had ships. In some occasions, we have historical recordings where they traveled over the water, you know, in great armies as well.
سخر الله لهم الأسود.
And even we have, you know, occasions where the beasts actually work for the companions. May Allah be pleased with them.
وكان أحدهم يحوش النار بإيده ولا كش النار تهرب قدام منه. النار.
And even some of them, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with such favors, such as they used to handle the fire with their hands, or, you know, make it move away from them with their hands.
أرجوك تقرأ باب كرامات الصحابة في كتاب حياة الصحابة.
So if you want to know more, read the chapter of the life of the companions and what favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. You will find all this recorded.
اقرأ كتاب الدعوات والنبوات في البخاري كتاب النبوات اللي صحيح البخاري.
And read from Bukhari the chapter that is the Sheikh has named the Nubuwat.
وفي كتاب خاص اسمه كرامات الصحابة.
There is also a small book titled the you know not the miracles but rather the, you know the great actions of the Sahaba.
لو عملنا امتحان في الفقه عنا شروط صحة الصلاة والطهارة والفقه مش عارف ايه كان البيع كذا 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 وعملنا امتحان بين واحد سنة أولى ابتدائي أزهر وبين واحد من كبار التابعين بينجح الشاب اللي موجود في هذه الأيام.
So if we look at an example whereby let's say we brought one tabi'i follower of the companions and we brought one person who's a first year learning Sharia sciences and we asked him, okay, in this test you must write down everything you know about prayers in terms of conditions, pillars and you know, everything that's technical, you will find that the person who's actually from nowadays times will actually be, he will win over or he will get more marks than a tabi'i if they were to sit the same exam.
أو من الصحابة.
Or even the companions.
مش قضية إن إحنا أعلم منهم لا سمح الله.
So the case is not that we have more knowledge than them.
لأن إحنا هذه الفرعيات وهذه الأمور التفريعية في الفقه استحدثناها حتى نصلي مثل صلاتهم.
However, the case is because out of all the narrations, everything that has been recorded for us after generation and generation, then we have the science that has been collected and is in front of our hands. We can recall this science basically like parrots. While to them, they didn't have these things written down.
أما هم فكان علمهم تطبيقي مباشرة من غير جدل وكثرة التفريعات بتاعتنا هذه.
So their way of praying was by directly watching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was actually a direct mimicking of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while we resort to books and so forth to follow the instructions.
إذن الكتاب اللي عندهم هو عندنا.
So they have the same book as we do.
والسنة موجودة.
And the sunnah that they followed, we have it in our hands at the moment.
كيف سيدنا عمر هو على المنبر في المدينة المنورة يرى جيشه في نهاوند في بلاد فارس ويصدر أوامره وينادي يا سارية الجبل؟ قصة معروفة لنا جميعا قبل ما يطلع الستلايت والأقمار الفضائية والجزيرة والعربية قبل ما كان في ستلايت وقبل ما يكون في أقمار صناعية كانوا يرون بنور الله عبر هذه المسافات بأبصارهم.
So how was it then in a very famous story, one of the famous stories, that when Umar was given, he was given the talk between the companions, one of the Friday prayers, that he just called out in the middle of the prayer, and he was calling out to one of the generals of the Islamic army that was in Persia, and he called him out by name, he said, "O Sariya, go to the mountain, or seek the mountain. Now he called out to him, and this army was on the other end of the Arabian Peninsula, many thousands of kilometers away. So the Sheikh is trying to say that nowadays we have the technologies, we have the satellite TVs and channels. They didn't have that, but they had, you know, the satellite of faith. They were working of faith and belief.
كيف بشرهم الله لجن رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه.
So how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them direct glad tidings of Jannah and He was pleased with them?
مقام عملنا وعملهم الله الله في أصحابي لو أنفق أحدكم لو واحد عنده مثل جبل أحد أنفقه في سبيل الله ما بياخد عليه أجر مثل ما واحد من صحابتي أنفق مد شعير ولا قمح ولا نصيف مد هكذا ولا نصيف.
So even in the tradition we read that if any one of us was to give out a whole mountain worth of gold as a charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not be equal to the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, giving a small amount of dates or barley for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just because the caliber of faith and intention that they deal with is so much higher than the one that we have.
لماذا ارتقى إيمان الصحابة لهالدرجة حتى شافوا الجنة في حياتهم؟
So how is it that their faith had gone up to such a level that they actually witnessed paradise in their eyes in this life?
الانتبه وصلي على رسول الله.
So let's listen to this advice.
احنا خدنا الحمد لله بركة الكتاب موجودة والسنة موجودة ولكن فاتنا نمبر 3 التزكية وهي رؤية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So for us, as a generation of nowadays times, we have the Quran, which was mentioned as number one. We have the Sunnah, which is mentioned as number two. However, we don't have, and it is not readily available, the purification science, for which the companions, what it was for them, is direct interaction with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeing him, sitting with him, and so forth. We don't have that, and neither do we have the science of purification.
وَالتَّزْكِيَةُ هِيَ فُيُوضَاتْ قلب الحبيب على قلوبهم من غير ما يكلمهم مجرد الرؤية مجرد المجالسة لذلك الصحبة شرف الصحبة هذا من النهاية كان قلب الحبيب يعلم قلوبهم بهذا لانجوش بقى من غير كلام بقى.
So for the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, why their level is so much further away than ours is because by them sitting present with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were able to experience, you know, direct if you like, faith flowing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam straight to them. So in other words, they were drinking directly from the fountain of prophethood, whilst we are so much away and further from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وأختم بما رواه الإمام البخاري عن حنظلة رضي الله عنه ذات يوم خرج يجأر يصرخ فزعا هلعا طالع يقول إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون لقد نافق حنظلة لقد نافق حنظلة الحقوني أنا نفق الحقوني مرض النفاق غزا قلبي.
So in conclusion, we'll mention a hadith that is related in Bukhari about the companion Hanzala, who once went out and he was calling out loud, woe to Hanzala, woe to Hanzala, Hanzala is a hypocrite.
فَلَقِيَهُ الصَّدِّيقُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ.
So Abu Bakr met him on the way that, and he saw him in this state.
خَيْرًا يَا حَنْزَلَ مَنْ أَرَاكَ بَاكِيًا حَزِينًا.
So Abu Bakr said to him, what is wrong with you that I see you upset and sad? Tell me what's happened. So he said, oh Abu Bakr, I have found myself to be a hypocrite.
قال له وما ذاك.
So Abu Bakr inquired, what do you mean?
قال أكون عند رسول نكون عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقرأ لنا القرآن فيها ذكر الجنة بنشم ريحة الجنة وإحنا قاعدين عنده يذكرنا بالنار والعياذ بالله كأننا نراها رأي العين.
So he said, Hanzala said that when we are in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he mentions the verses that have to do with paradise, it is as if I smell paradise with my nose. And when he mentions hellfire, it is as if I am witnessing hellfire with my eyes.
الإيمان عند نكون عند رسول الله أرواحنا تكون هناك تحلق حتى العرش.
When we are in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I feel that our spirits are like elevated to such a high position that is they are in the heavens.
نرجع أرجع إلى بيتي أكلم مرتي أكل أشرب أضحك مع الأولاد أقرأ القرآن ما في شيء.
So then when I go back home and I talk with the family and so forth and the kids and I do my things and then I come to read the Quran and I don't find the same effect that I find in the presence of Rasulullah.
لا أشعر بنفس الذوق الحلاوة التي أكون فيها عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So he says, I do not experience the same beautiful taste that I do with the presence of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أليس هذا نفاق دبل فيس عند الرسول بوش وبيتنا بوش تاني؟
So Hanzala is obviously thinking, he isn't this being double-faced because I experienced something different with the presence of Rasulullah and something different in my privacy at home. So to him, this is hypocrisy.
فقال أبو بكر إذا كنت تعد هذا نفاقا كنا في الهوى سوا يا أنا مثلك.
So Abu Bakr, he said to him that if you regard this as hypocrisy, then I am definitely with you in this band of hypocrites.
ولا خوفتني. تعال روح للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعرض عليه الأمر.
So actually Abu Bakr became scared at that time because he experiences the same thing. So he said, let's go to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and explain to him what's happening so that we can find, you know, the resolution.
أحيانا أنت تأخذ شافة إجازة. إجازة اسم مرايا. مرايا. في الشمس. فتروعها في الشمس وصلت على الفي. شو بتعمل؟ تعمل نور هناك وتزغل العين اللي قدام منك صحيح ولا المرآة هذه نورها ليس ذاتي نورها man of himself من داخل منها بدليل لو انطفأت الشمس وتيجي تقف في الفين ولا بالليل وتعملها كده ما بتأسف صحيح ولا يبقى المرآة تعكس ضوء الشمس في وجودها فإذا انطفأت الشمس أو إذا غابت الشمس مش انطفأت غابت الشمس أو في مكان بعيد عن الشمس المرآة في حد ذاتها ما إلها نور قلوب الصحابة عند حضرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قلبه كالشمس يشع على قلوبهم فيروه لما يبعد عنه فهم حنظل يحسب العملية كيف عند النبي أنا قلبي منور لا قلبك مش هو المنور ده انعكست أنوار قلب الحبيب على قلبك استنى
صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Sheikh has given us, before we get to the end of the story, he's given us a clarification. So if you have a piece of a mirror, say, and this mirror, you can reflect sunlight into it, into another direction. Now, if the sun sets or you go to a place where there is no sunlight, the mirror becomes useless. It cannot reflect anything. So the companions, in this clarification, the companions, what was happening is they were actually receiving the light from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they were bouncing it off as if they were the mirrors. However, when that light was not there, as in when the sun set, for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in their presence, they felt as if the light, they had there themselves as a mirror. They were after that, they felt that there was no light being directed from them. So then Abu Bakr and Hanzala went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they told him, they explained to him what happened.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لهما لو ظللتما أو لو ظللتم كلكم يعني الصحابة على الحالة التي تكونون فيها عندي لصافحتكم الملائكة في فرشكم وفي طرقاتكم يعني القضية قضية النبي متواضع لكن لو بقيتوا عندي على الحالة هاي ترتقي عندكم ولكنها ساعة وساعة ساعة وإيه وساعة هذا الحديث يبين ما مقام التزكية اللي هو فيوضات وأنوار قلب الحبيب الكامل على قلوب أصحابه.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's response to them was, if you are to stay on the same condition that you are when you come in my presence, then you, in your daily life, the angels would have come and shook your hands themselves. But it is an hour like this and an hour like that, meaning an hour as you feel in my presence and an hour as you feel without my presence. So in other words, the purification that the companions were exposed to was of such a high caliber because they were drinking directly from the light of prophethood, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
لما واحد يكون سكن جنب النبع عسير أو رشحين اللي ساكن بالنبع من الشمال من الظنية بيعرف لما يكون فيه نبع مطلع مية ثلج ماء بارد مباشر عندك نبع في الليل تشرب بتركب له أسطر وحنفية عشان تشرب منه ولا تروح تشرب منه مباشرة.
So Sheikh has given us another example. Let's say you have a spring in your hometown. You know, in Australia, it's not common that you see springs, but you know, in the Arab countries, very common springs. So he's saying, when you have this cold spring that erupts, is it logical for you to go and place a tap, you know, connect it to that spring so that you drink of it from another location? Or would you drink from the spring direct? Obviously, you drink from the spring direct.
أو تروح تجيب براد وتملأ أنا المية وتحطها في البراد وتشرب مية باردة تبقى مجنون والعيز العدل العيز بالله. لأن المية باردة أريد نحط البطيخة نعد واحد اثنين ثلاث لغاية عشرة بتنفجر من البرودة من شدة برودتها.
So Sheikh is saying, do you think it's logical that the cold water that is coming out of this fountain, would you get a jug and then use a refrigerator to cool it after that? No, it's already coming out cold.
لكن لما نبعد كام كيلو عن النبع نعمل حنفيات ونعمل مطور عشان نشرب من النبع ونوصله بقى إلى المناطق الأخرى.
However, when we are so many kilometers away from a spring, we are then forced to use technology as you know it to run pipes from the spring to the cities and then install taps and use our refrigeration and so forth.
ومن هنا الحديث له سنده عشان يبقى صحيح الفلان عن فلان تاخذ من شيخ عشان عن 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 عشان تتصل ببركة رسول الله روح للنبع بقى.
So now we can use this metaphor as the same as the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it is related with the chain of narration to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this chain can also be measured in terms of length.
كيف احنا يكون إنا إرث إنا نصيب في تزكية من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
How is it that we can gain some iota or some of that purification of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to drink from his fountain of prophethood?
الحبيب صلى الله عليه وسلم فارق الدنيا.
And even though the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is no longer with us on earth nowadays.
بعض علماء الحقيقة بيقولون نحن لا نأمل على مريدنا من سلب الإيمان إلا إذا تزكى ورأى حضرة الحبيب مباشرة في حياته. ده كلام كبير علينا هذا يجنن بقى ما فينا نستوعبه. لكن على أي حال قال من أجل الاتصال والحنفية تتصل 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 هذه كده فهناك زي ما رب العزة قال واتبع سبيل من أناب إليه فلا بد لك من مرشد روحي على دراية بأمراض القلوب ليعطيك الوصفة الطبية والطريق الأمثل والمنهج من أجل أن تصل إلى مقام التزكية ولا تحرم من رؤية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن طريق رؤية من رأى. لأن انتقلت التزكية من النبي لإيه؟ للصحابة، من الصحابة لمين؟ للتابعين، التابعين لمين؟ لتابعه تابع التابعين، لغاية ما عند أئمة أعلام، مثل ما عندي الإمام أبو حنيفة علمنا الفقه، عندي إمام الشافعي، عندي الإمام مالك، عندي الإمام أحمد، عندي الإمام الليث، الإمام الأوزاعي، الإمام جعفر، الإمام زيد، الإمام ابن حزم، أئمة دول بيهتموا بعلم الفقه اللي احنا شرحنا أهميته. معقول الدين هكذا؟ رب العزة ما يسخر علماء للتزكية من أجل ألا يحرموني من ميراث رسول الله في التزكية؟ هذا هو العلم الذي دروسنا القادمة إن شاء الله، التربية العملية إن شاء الله في مقام التزكية في لقاء القادم إن شاء الله.
Okay, so in summary, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and follow the path of those who come about to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means you have to be a follower. So the Shaykh is saying, we talked about the science of jurisprudence, and we know through our history the famous jurists such as the Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, and so forth. Is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create scholars like them, but in the field of purification of the heart? No, it is not possible. There are many of those scholars as well, but they are not as popular because our attention has moved away from this very important science. So the Shaykh is saying, inshallah, in our coming weeks, we shall be putting the spotlight on the practical steps of purifying one's heart and begin the journey on that third method, which is the purification of the heart.
نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يطهر قلوبنا وأن يزكي نفوسنا وأن يرزقنا من مدد تزكية نبينا وأن لا يحرمنا من مقام تزكيته وأن يفيض علينا من قلب الكامل إلى قلوبنا. اللهم انفعنا ببركة مشايخنا وعلمائنا، ارزقنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا صحبة أوليائك ومرافقة الصالحين من عبادك، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد الكريم وعلى صحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا.